Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, October 18th. Coming up, last year, the Supreme Court all but banned universities from considering the race of applicants in order to diversify their campuses. We'll learn more about the impact of that decision. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Local band Captain Rat and the Blind Rivets has been playing gigs for over 40 years. But when founding member and local legend Mark Rubel died in April, the band faced questions about its future. IPM student reporter Brendan Gallion has more on how the group is moving forward.
Mark Rubel's passing was a great loss for many, but especially so for a band that had lost its drummer, Jeff Evans, just months before. Still, the band continues to tour today. Keyboardist Roger Prilliman says that the decision to keep playing was easy, and Rubel helped make it.
Mark Rubel, in one of my last conversations I had with him, he said, "I really want you guys to keep the band going." He said, "Just because I'm not around," he said, "you know," and we even talked about possible replacements for him, which was kind of a tough conversation, but he was a good spirit about it.
The band already has several shows booked for 2025. I'm Brendan Gallion, IPM News.
The Champaign County audit is past due, which has some worried about critical programs losing funding. IPM student reporter Nathan Gonzalez explains.
The Regional Planning Commission, or RPC, is a local agency that operates numerous programs, including Head Start and emergency food and shelter programs. CEO Dalitza Sulameo said in an email, quote, "If the audit is not submitted by October 15, the county will be placed on a stop payment list, which prevents RPC from accessing funds from all statewide agencies." Last month, Donos told the county board that the audit due September 30th would be in by mid-October, but it's still not in. At the county board meeting Tuesday night, Donos said the audit will not get to 60 days late and said he predicts most agencies won't impose first-line delays on payments for at least 2 months.
So there's some money at stake. Worst-case scenario, you would have the November, what we would have gotten on November 1st, on December 1st, along with the December 1st check.
He says if need be, RPC can tap into reserves. I'm Nathan Gonzalez, IPM News.
A new report analyzes immigrant communities and their contributions to the economy in Illinois and the Great Lakes region. Esther Yunji Kang has more.
The report found the region's immigrant population grew by 16% between 2010 and 2022. That's compared to the U.S.-born population, which grew by less than half a percentage point. Immigrants also make up a large portion of the workforce in hard-to-fill factory jobs. Gina Krause-Vilmar is with Upwardly Global, one of the groups that put out the report.
This is a trend that has existed in the United States for a very long time. Immigrants are contributing in a large way, and they will have to be part of our future.
The report says in Illinois alone, immigrant households paid more than $24 billion in taxes in 2022. Esther Yunji Kang, WBEZ News.
Time is almost up for Illinois residents to submit a design for a new state flag. Today, Friday, is the last day to submit a design, which will then be reviewed by a commission of historians, artists, and elected officials from across the state. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Designs should reflect the identity of Illinois, says the commission, and can include elements of the state's natural features, history, and culture. The commission also recommends using fewer than three colors and is prohibiting AI-generated flags. Democratic State Senator from Springfield, Doris Turner, is spearheading the mission. She says it's time the flag represents Illinois' vast diversity. The current flag is the state's seal against a plain white background with the word Illinois underneath. The commission will pick 10 designs and put them up for a public vote online starting next year. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
New laws in Illinois are aiming to turn around a deadly health statistic in Illinois. Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton says black women face higher mortality rates regardless of socioeconomic status.
Here in the state of Illinois, black women are three times more likely to die from pregnancy-related complications, unfortunately, and it's not tied to economic status or anything else. It is really something that we know is systemic and not been meeting the needs of so many women, including black women.
In July, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the Birth Equity Act that requires Illinois-based health insurance to cover services such as doulas, lactation consultants, and midwives. The plan includes a $23 million investment in an effort to provide more access to care. IPM's Kennedy Vincent talks with Lieutenant Governor Stratton about Black maternal health on this week's Dialogue Show. You can listen tomorrow, Saturday at 11 a.m. to FM 101.1 or IllinoisSoul.org. Still to come, last year the Supreme Court all but banned universities from considering the race of applicants in order to diversify their campuses. We'll learn more about the impact of that decision. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for sunny skies with a high of 69 degrees and a south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 40 degrees, south wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 72 degrees, southwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 42 degrees, south wind 5 miles per hour. And for Sunday, sunny with a high of 75 degrees and southwest wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, Illinois voters are being asked to not only choose candidates, but also to weigh in on several non-binding policy questions having to do with voting, taxes, and IVF. We'll talk about what's at issue and what's the real story behind these advisory questions. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. This fall, the racial demographics of first-year students at selective colleges are under the microscope. Last year, the Supreme Court all but banned universities from considering the race of applicants in order to diversify their campuses. Now, enrollment numbers are coming in for the first freshman class admitted under the new legal precedent, and people are poring over the data to gauge its impact. Lisa Kurian-Phillip talked with the policy director of the nonprofit Education Reform Now, James Murphy, about what he sees in the numbers and the pitfalls of reading too much into them.
There's been a lot of coverage of the racial demographics of the freshman class this year. Why has there been so much interest? The institutions impacted by the decision are tiny, right, in terms of the percentage of students they serve.
On the one hand, should we have been as curious about the outcome of the SFFA decision? Maybe not, in the sense of most students were not affected by this. Most institutions of higher education weren't affected by it. On the other hand, these small number of colleges send a lot of students into politics, into entrepreneurship, off to law schools and med schools and PhD programs. And so they matter in that sense. And this was the first year that they were admitting a class without the option, or without the power, I should say, to consider race in the admissions process.
Is there anything that the data can tell us about the impacts of the decision?
What it really gets to, I think, is that Ed Blum and Students for Fair Admissions and the Supreme Court wanted to argue that college admissions in America is race-based. And that's the term that Chief Justice Roberts used repeatedly in the Supreme Court majority decision. The reality is that these kinds of colleges that have way more applicants and seats to offer, nothing is based on any single factor, right? Even legacies don't get in because they're legacies. Even donors' kids don't get in because they're, I mean, maybe once you get into the 10 million plus spectrum, maybe. I don't even know if that's necessarily the case. Nobody's getting in because of any one thing, right? College admissions is complex. There's a lot of competing priorities. And so it's not actually surprising that there isn't a good, clear pattern on the outcome for Hispanic students, Asian American students, and white students.
What are your concerns about reporters covering this data and trying to interpret it in the context of the Students for Fair Admissions decision?
It's very early, right? So the data that's been released is preliminary data. And probably most importantly of all, it's a single year. Every year has its, you know, tensions and dramas at many colleges. So a single year of data compared especially to just 1 year of data, so last year's class, is not a very good way to figure out what on earth is going on.
At Northwestern and U of I, the numbers stayed relatively stable. Like, for example, I think at U of I, the percentage of Black students went from 5.4% to 4.9%. I'm wondering if you have any takeaways from those schools that are local to Illinois.
It's not too much in the sense of like, because we don't know why these outcomes happen. They were doing something in their admissions process to really prioritize diversity, but maybe not. It could have honestly just been luck.
So Northwestern shouldn't necessarily be patting its back that the percentage of Black students went up from 14 to 15%.
I'll give them a pat on the back, but just, you know, let's wait to see what happens next year and the year after and the year after that. It's hard work, right? The thing about enrolling a diverse class is that it is challenging when you have taken away the primary tool that would help a college enroll a diverse class of students. All the proxies in the world are probably not going to make up for the difference.
That was Education Reform Now Policy Director James Murphy speaking with Lisa Corian-Phillip about the first freshman class to enter college under a near ban on the consideration of race in admissions. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Brendan Gallion, Nathan Gonzalez, Esther Yunjin Kang, Mawa Iqbal, and Lisa Corian-Phillip. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again